Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. In the meantime, please take a seat. We'll move with the next presentation. And yeah, I'll let them introduce themselves, please.
Hi, my name is Nick Gates. I'm from Open Forum Europe, and I'm here today representing a project that we participate in called NGI Commons. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means, and I'm going to turn it over to Jan to introduce himself.
So, hello everybody, my name is Jan Krever, and I'm working for the Open Future Foundation, and I'm also part of the NGI Commons project. Happy to be here.
So, by a show of hands, how many people are familiar with the next generation internet? Great. So about half of folks. So the next generation internet is a flagship Horizon Europe project that tries and gets funding into the open source ecosystem for next generation projects. There's been over 1,000 innovations that have been funded so far. There's some uncertainty around the future of NGI, but I'm sure we'll come to that in the fishbowl discussion. Really, what the NGI has tried to do over the last years is to create kind of more policy kind of coherence also around kind of open source as a form of digital commons. And since 2022, that has led to what we're calling NGI Commons. And the goal of NGI Commons as a coordination and support action down there is really to ensure strategic alignment and integration of the NGI efforts within the broader kind of European digital commons context. So it's really building policy coherence, but also creating a policy basis for more investment in digital commons over time. So yeah, apologies for rushing through that, but that's really the core of what we're trying to do. It's a three-year coordination and support action, and we're hoping to kind of support the digital commons ecosystem, and we'll talk more about that term in just a second.
So let me also quickly ask you, who is familiar with the concept of digital commons? Okay, that's also a good start, but maybe just coming back a little bit, where is this interest in digital commons coming from? So where is this concept coming from? So first of all, the idea behind digital commons is that it's a digital resource. So we are mostly talking about open source software, but we're also talking about open data, open source hardware, open designs. But there must be some kind of resource. The second ingredient, let's say, is that there's a governance system. And this comes very much from the work of the economist Elina Ostrom, who said that basically there are goods that are commons not just because of their economic features, but because people decided to manage them as commons. And so she said that basically all around the world you can find people who are able to self-organize to produce and maintain goods in a sustainable manner even without the support of states or of firms. And last ingredient that's very important to understand the concept of digital commons, it's for instance a contribution of Yochai Benkler on commons-based peer production. It's the idea that those are goods that are produced outside of strictly speaking the coordination forms within firms of subordination or of markets which are price signals. So it's people who as peers can coordinate and work together to build and maintain a resource. However, and I think this builds on something someone said earlier, there is a misconception that those would be only very marginal projects outside of the realms of what corporations do or states are doing. And this is entirely wrong because you can see that many of these projects are actually part of the backbone of the digital infrastructure we are relying on. I think here is not the place where I need to explain that further, but what we are trying to show to policymakers is that this mode of coordination that includes private firms, that includes many different actors, is actually responsible for maintaining many of the key infrastructures we are depending on. So we are compiling the different research results that exist out there that show the actual value, economic value, and also social value of these goods that are managed this way. And so basically, you could even talk about this infrastructure as something that has become very complex, so as a kind of accidental megastructure of these forms of collaboration. And next slide. So the origins of this project and this interest in commons comes a lot also from a working group that was that published a report in 2021 and is really looking at commons as as a way to produce infrastructure and to support digital sovereignty, something that is not well understood enough by policymakers, who usually think in terms of classical state interventions or market interventions, and who do not see the power and the possibility to mobilize this mode of coordination and production to provide public goods in a much more efficient manner, and as like key components of the some of the critical resources that depend on.
So I want to talk about some real world use cases very quickly. We won't hover on all of these because we have limited time. But this is all part of a broader effort around digital sovereignty. So we titled it Pillars of Digital Sovereignty. So this is really kind of a larger policy focus, and we see that in the Eurostack initiative, for example. An important note, I regard digital commons as a policy tool. Individual projects are digital commons, but there's also the linking of commons to policy objectives and policy implementation. And so these larger use cases are also a commons in and of themselves. And yeah, as I mentioned, digital commons are part of a number of different emerging initiatives in Europe, such as the Eurostack initiative, the Digital Commons Edict, and the Commission's proposed plan for an open internet stack. Maybe we'll get to that. Here's a great example, OpenDesk. This was talked about and is going to be talked about in the government collaboration dendrum, but this is really kind of a bundling of different projects together. Oops, I went backwards. We have Matrix and Element, which is a great example of a digital commons. Mastodon and PeerTube, also great examples of communications platforms. And finally, Blender. I'm a big movie person. We recently saw that Blender was the foundation for a Oscar-nominated best animated feature called Flow. So really, this is a great example of the creative economy in Europe leveraging digital commons as well. And then Jan's going to talk a little bit more about some of the policy implications and some of the policy review work that he did over the last year.
Yes, so one first step in the context of this NGI Commons project, as we are trying to make like policy recommendations and define a strategic agenda of how like European Commission, but European member states can support, mobilize digital commons, one first step was to actually look at what have past policies been doing in supporting digital commons. So we just produced a report that you can find on our website. We have been looking at the policies in Europe to support digital commons for the past 20 years. So the objective was to kind of try to provide this overview. It's not fully exhaustive, but it's an overview of not only open source software policies, but also open data, open source hardware, all the different sub-elements of digital commons. And so what we have been looking at are these different types of resources that I've just mentioned. We see that especially in the early 2000s and up until the 2010 years, many policies were mostly focusing on supporting the availability of open resource. So the focus was very much on open access. You can see that even though I guess many here think that it has not gone far enough, Europe more than other countries have supported the adoption of open source in public sector. The open access to scientific publications funded by the public sector, etc. So there have been pioneering efforts here in Europe. And the shift that we then see more in like the 2010 years, where after the Snowden revelations, but also the growing dominance of a few private platforms, a stronger interest in digital sovereignty, and looking at some of the critical elements of infrastructure, is looking at how they are governed. So not only focusing on open access, but also, for instance, in the field of culture, not just supporting open access to data of cultural institutions in Europe, but also doing initiatives like Europeana that is actually creating the norm standards and infrastructure for sharing that data between public institutions. And so we've looked at different policies that have supported digital sovereignty here, mobilizing digital commons. So some are very much focused on allowing states to actually participate in rule making, for instance, when they're promoting interoperability and different open standards. Some policies that are starting to slowly mobilize digital commons in the context of industrial policy, so as a tool to catch up technologically. You see that a lot in Asia, actually, for instance, in China, where investments in open chip designs or open AI seem to pay off a little bit. And then finally, policies that are really supporting the distributed ownership of resources, not only for states, but also organizations, individuals, communities who use this tool to be able to have a self-determined and more agency in the way they use technology. So that's the review we've just published.
And we're officially out of time, and we'll have time for questions in the fishbowl, so I'm just going to really kind of quickly go through this. We have something called the Digital Commons Task Force, which is a group of experts that provide input to our project. If you'd like to get involved, please come find Jan or me, and we'll help you get connected. I also encourage you to scan this code, if you can, and join our Digital Commons community platform over on Matrix. This is a great way to stay in touch with everything that we're doing and to debate Digital Commons. We had a great debate over the weekend around the value of Digital Commons, so we're really kind of not precious about this kind of stuff. We really want to engage with the community. Finally, we have a newsletter. If you go to commons.ngi.eu, you can sign up. And yeah, these are all our social media channels. I'll just go back to the QR code so you guys can have time to scan it. But that's all from me and Jan, and we look forward to talking to you more.